And now from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading at verse 14. I'm sure that you are no stranger to these verses of Scripture, for they have been read in your hearing many times before. But somehow I feel perhaps a new and fresh thought today, based on Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, 15, and 16, which I shall read after we pause for a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou art the great God of the universe, and that Thy grace is greater than all our sins this morning. We implore Thee that Thou wouldst look with love and mercy upon us, deserving of judgment and deserving of wrath, only having been saved by Thy marvelous grace. Give us what we need for these moments of meditation and this time of worship, and may the Holy Spirit speak to us individually in this hour. Help us to see ourselves even as Thou dost see us. Help us to look again and see ourselves as we are. And then, Heavenly Father, help us to look into Thy Word and see ourselves as we ought to be by Thy grace. In Jesus' sweet and sovereign name we ask it, and for His sake, amen. Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." And here's a divine imperative for us. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." A little girl was attending worship service with her mother and had been admiringly looking at the stained glass windows and the figures that were on them. As they left the church, she said to her mother, "Mother, those people on the window that the sun was shining through, who are those people?" And her mother said, "Why, darling, they're the saints." So when she got home, she said to her little brother, "Johnny, I bet I know something you don't know." "Well, what is it? Tell me." "I know who the saints are." "Well, who are they?" And she answered, "They are those people that the light shines through." Oh, I thought she preached a great message. The saints of God are the people that the light shines through. The light of Christ. "Ye are the light of the world." Webster defines light as the essential condition for vision. I take it from that that without light no man can see. He goes on to define light as the absence of darkness. You remember John said, "He is the light, and in Him is no darkness at all." If we have fellowship with Him, we walk in the light as He is in the light, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. Jesus knew the importance of light. Therefore, He prevailed upon His disciples to let their light shine in a dark and dismal world. I read a story about a little boy, and this is a tragic note. so true to life. The little boy had gone to Sunday school, and the lesson that morning was from verse 16, "Let your light shine." And with an inquisitive mind, he asked the teacher, "Just what does that mean, let your light shine?" And the teacher said, "Well, son, it means to be obedient and kind and sweet and loving and faithful." All during the week, the words of the teacher kept running over in his mind. And like most boys, he got into some meanness that week. And he found himself not so kind, not so loving, not so obedient. And his mother had observed some of his behavior. And she said to him, "Son, what on earth has happened to you this week?" He said, "Well, mother, I guess my light has just burned out." And that is a commentary on many believers today. So many have allowed their lights to burn out that multiplied hundreds around the world are groping in the darkness of sin and superstition. And as a result of lights burned out, many will go into eternity unprepared to meet Jesus. I want to show you a few people from the Word of God who let their lights burn out, and something of the consequences of it. Would you think a few moments with me about the man named Cain, who let his light burn out? Would I have to review the story of Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, their sons? And how that Abel brought an offering before the Lord of blood sacrifice, and the Bible says that God had respect unto his offering. And Cain brought his offering of the fruit of his own hand and the result of his own labor. And it is written that God looked with disfavor upon Cain's offering. And because it seemed that Abel was something more than Cain, but he really wasn't, he was just obeying God where Cain was not, Cain, in a fit of anger and rage of jealousy, rose up and slew his brother. Cain's light went out. Let us call his light the light of worship. And the reason that Cain's light went out is because he made the wrong approach to God in worship. God has prescribed a manner of worship, and there has never been and there shall never be but one method of approach to a holy and righteous God, and that is by a blood sacrifice. The Park Davis Drug Company tells us that 90% of all the medicines that are prescribed today were virtually unheard of just 20 years ago. Which suggests to us that for the ills of the body, medicines, remedies, cures, all change. But I hasten to tell you today, for the illness of the soul, there has never been and there shall never be but one cure, and that's the blood of God's Lamb for sinners slain. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It is the blood that maketh atonement for sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. I tell you this morning that if you miss the bloody way of the sacrifice of Jesus, you're going to miss God's way. A man had lived a life of an atheist all his days. He came down to the last moments, and because he had lived a life of an atheist, he didn't have too many friends. And in his last days, he was sick. And for the most part, no one to attend to his needs. One of the neighbors, after having missed him for several days, went to check on him, and they found him cold in death in his bed. But scribbled on a piece of paper were these words: I've tried in vain a thousand ways to quell my fears and my hopes to raise. But what I need, the Bible says, is ever only Jesus. My soul is night, my heart is still. I cannot see, I cannot feel. I must appeal in simple faith to Jesus. No wonder the songwriter said, in vain we search for peace with God by methods of our own. Dear Jesus, nothing but thy blood can bring us near thy throne. The light of worship in the life of Cain went out because he made the wrong approach to God. The way of the cross leads home. There's no other way but this. I shall never get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. Has your light of worship gone out? Have you tried to reach God through church membership? You've tried in vain. Have you tried to reach God by learning the catechisms? You've tried in vain. Have you tried to reach God through the baptismal waters, through the cup of communion? You've tried in vain. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The light of worship has gone out in the lives and experiences of many because they've made the wrong approach to God in worship. What shall I say of this man named Lot? He's familiar to your thinking. As I review the story of Lot, I learned that he was brought up in the household of Abraham. And I would call Lot's light the light of separation. You see, God's word says, come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord. God demands and God requires and God expects, and I might add, God deserves out of his children a life that is different from unbelievers. Oh, but the time has come when it's all but too difficult to discern between the worldling and the Christian. Doing the same thing, speaking the same language. There's something peculiar about God's people, and I don't mean they're oddballs either, but they have a peculiar relationship to God. Lot's light was the light of separation, and the reason his light went out, beloved, is simply this. He was preoccupied with selfish ambitions. Lot wanted the best for himself. There's a New Testament teaching along this line. Jesus said, "He that saveth his own life shall lose it." Lot wanted the richest plain of the Jordan for himself. Lot wanted freedom from the restraint of the godly influence of Uncle Abraham. For Lot knew as long as he remained in Abraham's household, he was going to worship God. He was going to go to Sunday school, if you please. He was going to bring the portion of his income into the storehouse that belonged to God. Lot knew that if he lived with Abraham, he'd be an all-the-way Christian, not a Christian of convenience, not a Sunday morning Christian. You know, so many Christians are like morning glories. You've seen them in the morning in the sunlight, they blossom out, but by evening, they're all wilted and closed in. That's a lot of Christians. They are morning glories. And that was not the kind of people that lived in Abraham's house, and Lot knew it. And Lot was not willing to pay the price to remain under the godly influence of Uncle Abraham. It sort of reminds me of the prodigal son. You know, I take it from the story that in the prodigal's home, there was a family altar. I take it in the prodigal's home, there was righteousness, and faithfulness, and dedication. And somehow I can see that the prodigal got to thinking. Oh, he said, "Mother and Daddy are so strict on me." You young people, listen to me this morning. Please listen to me today. The prodigal said, "Mother and Daddy are old-fashioned. They don't think that I ought to be able to do this or that or the other. And they've put such strict regulations on me. They've clipped my wings. They've taken away my freedom. I want to get out in the world where I can go on my own. I think I'll take a stab at the life of the world where nobody can tell me when I've got to go to bed. Nobody can tell me who's my friend, who my friends can be. Nobody can tell me what I can do and what I can't. I'll get out in the world and I'll do as I please. I'll go where I want to, when I want to, and come back as late as I want to. And Mother and Daddy won't have a thing to do with it. I'll be on my own." And this is going to surprise some of you young people. He had a good time doing it. You didn't expect me to say that, did you? But he did. I believe he did. But wait just a moment. The Bible says, and it is written, that when he had spent all of his energy, all of his strength, all of his purity, all of the worthwhile values of life, there arose a famine in the land, and he was hungry. While it lasted, it was good. But there is nothing of this world that is permanent. You best cling to the values of Mother and Daddy. You best cling to the values of the Word. You best cling to the values of truth and righteousness. Because there's coming a famine, and you're going to spend all. And there's a hog pen out there waiting for you. And I'm glad the story didn't end until the prodigal came to himself. And the Bible says when he came to himself, he came back home. And he found out that mother's biscuits weren't so bad after all. And he found out that daddy's regulations weren't so strict after all. And he found out that mother and daddy had done for him what needed to be done for him. Lot, like the prodigal, with a light of separation, allowed it to burn out in the things of the world. I say again that Lot had a light of separation that went out. But he had to pay a tremendous price. He lost his family. He lost his friends. He lost his fellowship with God. Jesus tells us about a man in the New Testament who had those selfish ambitions. And he wanted to do the thing that everybody else was doing. You know, that's sort of strange, isn't it? Why don't we want to be different, do you suppose? Here was a man who wanted to do what everybody else was doing. And bear with me a moment. You young people, listen to me again. Then you can tune me out. But listen to me while I say this. If you don't do like the world does and like everybody else does, they'll say you're crazy. But God has a different appraisal. God says if you do like the world does, you're a fool. And you are. And if you do like the world says over the teaching and preaching of your church, and the teaching and instruction of your parents, you're a double fool. Because God said you were, if you try to keep up with the world and do everything they do, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. Then who shall these things be? Whose shall all of these things be when you stand before God in the hour of judgment? When the perspiration of death has chilled your brow and your fingernails have turned purple and the doctors have stood by, what of the earthly values then? Don't let the light of separation go out in your life. Oh, I think about a third man, and he's in the New Testament. His name is Peter. And we might call Peter's light the light of loyalty. I read with some amusement what Peter said when he was with Jesus there on the Mount of Olives. You know what he said to Jesus? Following Jesus' statement about his death, I've got to be delivered up into the hands of sinful men and I've got to be crucified. And all my disciples will forsake me. You know what Peter said? Not so, Lord, not so. All the others may go, but you can count on me. How many people have said to their pastor? How many people have said to Jesus? You can count on me. But that very night, say, wait a minute, I didn't tell you what Peter finished saying. Peter said, Lord, I'll go with you to prison and to death. But that night, not the next day, not the next week, but that night, the light of Peter's loyalty went out. You know why? Because in the hour of trial, Peter was a coward. That night, he lost the glow of the lamp of loyalty, and his light went out. Because Jesus said, before the cock crows in the morning, you'll deny me three times. And he did. And you know what Peter did? Listen to me. Peter cursed and swore that he didn't even know Jesus. His light of loyalty went out. But wait. This much we must say in behalf of Peter. His light didn't stay out long. For when Jesus turned and looked at him without saying a word, the Bible says that Peter went out and wept. And somehow I believe in that same night, the light of loyalty began to glow in Peter's heart. I would say to you this morning, there are some lights that ought never to go out. The light of worship ought to be kept burning brightly. The light of dedication ought never to go out.
The light of faith should always burn brightly. For hear me when I say it. When the light of faith goes out, you and I are thrown into a world of unconquerable darkness. The light of evangelism ought never to go out. The light of love ought never to be put out. For it's hard to live in a world without love. What about your light? What about the light of worship in your life? What about that light of separation? You want to be like Lot? You want to be like the prodigal and pay the price? What about the light of loyalty? Jesus said, now hear this. Don't miss it. Jesus said, let your light shine. It's a personal matter. And remember, Jesus didn't say, make your light shine. He said, let your light shine. The General Electric Company boasts of a light bulb that they say will burn 1,000,000 hours. But I've got something better to boast about than that. I tell you now about a light that shall never go out. And that's the light of God's love for you. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. If you are here this morning unsaved, I would beg you to come to Jesus and let him start a light of salvation in your heart. If you are here this morning and you are saved, but your light has grown dim and the glow of your personality as a Christian is darkened, I'd say to you, come around this altar of prayer and let God recharge that spiritual battery that your light would shine brightly for him. What about your light? I visited a man yesterday who's unsaved. As I was ready to leave him, I said, mister, we'd talked of life and death. I laid my hand over on his shoulder and I said, mister, one of these days the old heart's going to stop beating. He said, yeah, you know, they're giving some of them new hearts in these days. But I don't think they're going to work, he said. I don't think they're going to last. And I looked him straight in the face and I said, mister, Jesus can give you a new heart if you'll just open up and let him come in. I left him with these words, preacher. He said, I know I ought to do it. But you know what? They sent a man out here last year at this time, and he said to me, and he said to our Sunday school superintendent, and he said to his wife, I know I ought to do it. But on Tuesday, he took his own life. He never got that new heart. What about your light? The light of worship. The light of separation. The light of loyalty. The light of eternal life. How does it shine? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before thee this morning, we thank thee for the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the light of worship and the light of separation and the light of loyalty. And we thank thee for the light of everlasting love and everlasting life. May we this morning tune our lamps to burn brightly in a dark and disharmonized world. For those who are without the Savior, don't let them leave this house until the light of salvation burns in their heart. For those who, Heavenly Father, may be drifting afar from the shore, for that young woman or that young man about to take the step of the prodigal, about to let the lamp of separation and restraint and obedience burn out in their lives, arrest them by thy Holy Spirit and bring them to their senses today. For those outside the fellowship and communion of the church, may they come in today to identify themselves with this body of believers. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you remain with me for just a moment in prayer? Perhaps you are here today and you've never been saved. We are concerned about you. If the light of salvation has never been struck in your heart, I hope that the Holy Spirit will ignite it this morning. And there will blaze in your bosom the hope of everlasting life in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are here this morning and your fellowship with God and your fellowship with God's people and your relationship to the church is not what it ought to be, I hope that your spiritual battery will be recharged, that the light of your Christian personality, your Christian disposition, your Christian witness will burn brightly again. What do the people on the job think about you? What does your family think? What do your neighbors think? What does God know? How are the lights burning in your life? If you're outside the confines of the church, I trust that you'll come by letter from another Baptist church, by statement, or by baptism into the fellowship of Worth Baptist. As we stand together for our first stanza of the invitation, who'll be first to come? Who'll be first to come to Jesus, to an altar of prayer, to the church? Come now as we sing the first stanza, will you? Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. He's calling for you. He's calling for me. Will you come this morning? See, on the portals he's waiting and watching. Jesus is calling. Young people, will you come this morning? Mother, Daddy, will you come this morning? Oh, sinner, come home. Would you? As we continue to offer the hymn of invitation as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, will you come today? Why should we turn? That you bow your heads for just a moment, and I'm going to ask that you be in prayer with me, as I have so often done before. I do again this morning. I confess to you, I don't know how to give an invitation. I don't know really what to say. I don't know how to put the truth of the matter to you today. I wish that I did. But I wish that you'd join with me in prayer that the Holy Spirit would conduct this invitation.
Some of you who need to come and publicly confess Christ as your Savior. You don't have to join this church if you don't want to. But you know what Jesus said? Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But wait a moment. Jesus also said, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father who is in heaven. Why don't you come and make that public confession? I don't mean give a testimony. I don't mean say a thing to anybody. But just by your coming, say, I believe this. I want to go in this way. Somehow this morning I have a special burden for the young people. In an hour when so many young people around the world have gone the crazy hippie way, they've gone the ways of wild music and dope and trash and dirt and filth. Oh, I wish that Christian parents would go home today and have a house cleaning with some of the filthy, junky records and books and magazines that are in their homes. Get rid of them. I don't think they ought to be there. Your young people don't need that. They need something that's of a nature to lead them to Jesus and lead them to refinement and culture. They need to know how to appreciate the finer things of life. Good music, good books, good conversation. That's what they need. I have a special burden for the young people today. Maybe as a young person you feel that you need to slip down to an altar of prayer. And I know it might take a whole lot of courage, but listen to me. If you do what the world says and what the world does and how the world behaves, God says you're foolish. If you come the way of the cross and the way of the altar of prayer and the way of salvation, it may sound like somebody old fogey now. It may sound like I'm not in the groove, and I don't really claim to be. But I'm telling you the truth from God's Word. You need the things, young people, in your minds and in your soul that'll lead you to higher planes. And a whole lot of the modern things of trash, music and books will lead you to the depths of sorrow and sin. Let's get rid of it. Let's don't let the light of separation go out, young people. Mothers and daddies, Christians. I want to open this invitation for anybody who feels like they have a burden on their heart or need in their soul. I want you to come around this altar and pray. Doesn't matter what it is, young or old, man or woman, boy or girl. Member of the church or visitor, you don't have to say anything, sign anything, pledge anything, give anything, do anything, but just talk to Jesus. That's all. Come on while we sing the next stanza, will you, right now?